It's good to be here again this evening, tonight, with you all in service. Been looking forward to the service today, the message on my heart. And if you're a visitor here, I want to welcome you. I know this people here would like you to feel at home. I can attest to that. They certainly have treated my wife, my family, and myself very well here. And I know that there is a sincere love of God among this people and a love for your soul, especially if you're lost here tonight. I don't want to say especially if you're lost. I think they love anybody. But tonight, if you're lost, there is a special concern that we have for your soul. The title of my message this evening is Coming Clean with God. Coming Clean with God. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. I want to take our text this evening. The first two verses. And then we'll depart and head to the beginning after we read these two verses. Psalm chapter 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now last night, Pastor Tim preached a message on mercy triumphing over judgment. And I want to perhaps dovetail into that with some thoughts that have been on my heart for a couple of days, more about finding that mercy that can triumph over the justice that you deserve in your life, which is death and hell if you're lost. This passage here says that blessed or happy is the man whose transgression, whose sin is forgiven. Now, for us to understand forgiveness, I want you to understand what God says about that. When God forgives something, it's not that he forgets. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. Forgiveness is acting as if it's never happened. When God forgives you, he doesn't forget about what you've done. He's omniscient. But God will not hold that against you. He says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far that your sin is from you. Whose sin is covered. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. In fact, the passage I want us to go to here in a moment is going to talk about that in detail. Blessed and happy is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That word imputeth means to lay to one's account. As if you were one who had a piece of paper. And every time that you saw someone do something wrong, you wrote it down. God has that account. He keeps track of everything that we've ever done. And unless you've experienced the saving grace of God, the forgiveness of God, there is an account in the mind of God. Amen. Of exactly every sin you have ever committed. And in whose spirit there is no guile. That word guile means deceit. Deceit. One of our favorite pastimes, and I think it's all of our favorite pastimes, is trying to hide our sin. We all sin. There's not a person in this room who hasn't sinned. And I think we've all experienced this before in our lives. You know, my mom's not here tonight. She's going to come down tomorrow night so I can use this example. My grandparents are going to keep quiet. All right? Well, she's not their daughter. But, you know, I'm sure you all experienced this before. You know, where you're a kid, and you're acting up, and your mom is angry, frustrated, a little tired the way you've been behaving, and the phone rings. And they can answer in such a sweet and a happy voice, and you know, and their eyes can be looking at you and full of fire and brimstone, but the sweetness is just pouring off of their lips. Amen, Joseph? Okay. That's what we do on a daily basis. We work at this really hard. We try and try and try to cover ourselves. We put on our church faces, our church clothes, and we come and we try to pretend that we've not been the people that we are on a daily basis, you know, all the time. You know, I think one of the greatest things that could happen to us as individuals is if our sin were broadcast on the 5 o'clock news. If all the things that we did were broadcast on the 5 o'clock news and we had to deal with it. And we had to deal with it. We had to face it because, you know, we don't only lie to other people. We don't only lie to other people and put on this front and try to hide and cover our sins ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves all the time. And that action is, I think, is costing a lot of people their lives and sending them straight to hell because they have convinced themselves in some perversion of their minds that they're really not that bad. That they're really not worthy of death and of hell and of all these things. It's a common perversion in our minds. It's prevalent in our society. Every one of us thinks this way. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 3. Let's talk about how this happened. Because this confusion in our minds had an origin. When sin occurred and the curse was passed upon man, it not only corrupted his soul, but it corrupted his mind. It corrupted his body. And we're going to see these things here in Genesis chapter 3 tonight. We're just going to read part of this passage, start in verse 1. We'll go down for quite a ways. I'll stop here and there. Now the serpent was more subtle or shrewd or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And that right there was the beginning of all the sin and the suffering. You know, if that hadn't happened, there wouldn't be a gray head in this room. You know that? There wouldn't be a gray head, there wouldn't be a bald head in this room either. Right? This is the source and the cause of all sin and grief and misery, pain. And this world, it all starts right here. You know, they started off and they didn't have this knowledge of sin. God had them in a protected and a holy state. They didn't have that. Their knowledge of sin came from the action of sin. The action of sin is what brought that knowledge of sin to their hearts and their minds. Satan's ploy was to make it look good. It was a lie. I mean, we look at all the things that have happened after this, and I'm sure everyone in this room would say, it wasn't worth it. But have you done anything in your life that you now look back and say, that was really foolish? And you've seen the pain and the hurt that it's brought you in your life, or the pain and hurt that it's brought to the life of others, and you think, why in the world did I do that? Why was I so foolish to believe the lie? I'm sure we can all look back on the sins of our youth, the things we've done when we were younger, and say, why did I waste my time in these things? It hurt me, it hurt others. You see that after the fact, but you know, at that moment, we look at that thing and it seems desirable to us. That's what Satan tries to do. He works overtime to try to make sin look good. You know, we sin, you know how it is that we sin? Either we have incorrect information in our minds. We don't know the truth. Or we do know, and we in our minds weigh and we say, here's the sin and here's the right thing I should do. And we weigh these things in our mind. And we foolishly think that the gain that we will get from doing the sin outweighs what we'll forfeit from not doing the righteousness. That's what we do. We weigh these things in our mind. Every time you have a juicy piece of gossip on your lips and you're thinking, oh man, I want to tell this, but no, it's not right for me to do it. Should I tell it? Boy, if I tell it, it's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to feel good. This person's going to want to know it. And they're just going to think it's so great they heard this. Oh, but it's a sin against God. Well, you know, I can repent later and deal with it. I'll go ahead and tell it, you know. And we lie to ourselves. And, you know, clearly, if we look at the Scriptures honestly, there is no way that the things we forfeit by leaving righteousness behind and following sin begins to compare. Amen. But we believe the lie. We walk down that path over and over and over. That's what Satan does. He wants to make it look good. He's taken all sorts of things that God calls an abomination. And he makes them look good. We went out to the mall today with my grandparents and my brother, and took the kids there. And we went into the Disney store, and I was telling Pastor Tim about this over dinner. You know, I was looking around there and at all the different things they had, and I'd never seen this before. They had some new cartoon or something out called Witch. I never heard of this thing. Some of you may have heard of this. And you look at these adorable little characters, and it's called Witch. And I don't know anything about this thing, but I know that God calls that an abomination.
Amen.
And but Satan tries to take these things and introduce them to our children at these young ages and make it look so good and just pull them down this path of sin and corruption that will lead them straight to hell. But it looks so good. It's packaged so pretty. They're on the shelf, and we just think, oh, you know, that can't hurt anything. That's exactly what Eve did when she ate of the fruit. And look where we are now. Look where we are now. We've all lost loved ones. We've seen them die. We've seen the pain that exists. You know, the accidents that happen every night. People getting T-boned on the highway. All the things we see in the hospitals. I mean, how terrible is it? It all started off from a piece of fruit that was packaged and looked so beautiful and seemed like it would be so good. And so we take a bite. When they took that bite, verse 7, it says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, it's interesting that the price that Adam and Eve paid for eating of that fruit, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the price they paid was the knowledge that they were evil. That's the price they pay. They ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil to make themselves as gods. But the knowledge they gained from that was finding out that they were evil.
Amen.
That they were separated from God, and they looked, and before they were innocent. They didn't know these things. I mean, it was hid from them. God had them protected in His loving arms from these things. He didn't want them to have to go through this, but they looked, they ate, and they realized their nakedness. They saw their sin. And my friend, I have a feeling tonight that if you're lost at some point in your life, if not tonight, God has made you aware of your sin.
Amen.
And so what do? They go out and they find some leaves and they try to cover it. Try to hide it all up. They don't want anyone to see it. They don't want each other to see it. They're husband and wife, and yet they're trying to cover their nakedness, cover their sin from each other. Their spouse, the one who they are supposed to be one with. And don't we even do that with our spouses sometimes? Try to cover ourselves and hide our iniquity and our wickedness. You know, when you feel that desire to hide your lost condition, if you're here tonight and you're lost, if you're here tonight and you're saved and you've got some sin in your life and you want to hide that, you don't want people to know about that, my friend, I connect you right back here.
Amen.
Here's the first ones. You know, you're a child of theirs. You're related by blood. You see, you got the family resemblance. We like to hide our sin. We want to cover it ourselves with whatever we can find, whatever we can manufacture to try to do that with. We want to cover it. Going on here, God walking in the cool of the day through the garden. Adam and his wife, says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know, those clothes weren't good enough. Interesting, the things that they fashioned to try to hide their nakedness, it wasn't good enough. And when God came knocking and looking for them, they hid even further. They slouched down even further in the back. They tried to hide their head, bow it, not make eye contact so He couldn't see them. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, some people have foolishly tried to take that and say, you know, look, God doesn't know everything. My friends, God knew exactly where they were at. He wanted them to notice where they were. Why are you hiding from me? I mean, this was their God, their loving Creator, the one who made them, the one who gave them all of those things to enjoy. I mean, Adam, he was lonely, and so God in His love gave him a helpmeet. God gave them everything they needed. And here they were, the one who loved them so much, they went and hid themselves. Adam told you not to eat it. The question really is, look where you're at now, Adam. Look where you're at now, Adam. And so Adam's response He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, I see such a parallel between God calling a sinner to repentance. And he's calling him, and he's drawing him, and he's saying, you know, where are you? Do you see where you are? Do you see where I am? Do you see what I want to give you? Why are you running from this? And the answer is, I see what I am and I don't like it, so I don't want to deal with it. I want to hide myself and try to cover it up myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Adam, how'd you find this out? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. This is Adam's confession. And we're talking a bit about confession tonight, coming clean with God. I want you to look at the quality of Adam's confession. What's the quality of his confession? Adam, what happened? You've eaten of the tree, haven't you? Well, this woman you gave me, trying to blame it on God and trying to blame it on her, she gave it to me, and I ate it. God turns to Eve. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He tricked me, and I did eat. This was the quality of her confession. Look to the serpent. He did it. He tricked me. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. I'm sorry. You know, it's his fault. My friend, when we try to come to God like that with our sins, we're going to get nowhere fast.
Amen.
Nowhere fast. My wife and I asked her beforehand if I could use this illustration, and she relented to let me use this tonight, and I appreciate her in that. We're not perfect. I'm sure you're not surprised. And when you have three children and a brand new baby, one of them brand new, that's not sleeping a lot at night, and therefore you're not sleeping a lot at night, it's really easy. You become more susceptible to becoming maybe irritable with each other, frustrated. Whose turn is it to get up in the middle of the night? I'm one of those guys, you know, after about 3 or 4 hours of sleep, I hear the baby too. The first 3 or 4 hours, I don't hear it. It's not my fault, okay? But after that, I hear it too. And I'm the guy who, my temptation is just to pretend I'm still asleep. You know, I feel the nudge, I feel the bounce, and I just say, and I think if I just lay here long enough, she'll get up. Okay? I confess, I've done that. And she knows that I do that. Okay? She's not dumb. She knows that I do this. And so these things can cause frustration and cause us to be harsh with each other sometimes. And we had went on for a period of a few days of saying things back and forth and harshness. And it seemed like, you know, we've been blessed with being raised, you know, or I've been raised in a Christian home, and we've been through a lot of teaching together and learning about how to have a good relationship with one another. And we know that we need to confess to each other and forgive each other. And when we say we're going to do that, we mean we're going to forgive each other, not hold it against each other. And so we try to do that in our marriage. But, you know, my confessions to her were getting really pretty weak. You know, it's like, well, I was really tired and so I, or, you know, I just came home, so I, or, you know, I've got to go downstairs and study to preach, so I, you know, and so I had all these confessions just like Adam. You know, I wasn't treating her the way I was supposed to be treating her, and I had excuses a mile long to try to explain why that was okay. But you know, we were in a discussion one day, I'll call it a discussion, and I realized I was doing something wrong. And I stopped and I said, you know what? I said, it doesn't matter. You know, as a Christian, it does not matter what time it is in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter if I've just come home. It doesn't matter if I've got to preach in the morning. I have no excuse to treat you like this. There is no reason I have to do that. And Jesus Christ, I can do all things. And those all things, that's not, you know, going off and getting a Ferrari. That's being righteous in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no excuse for my sin. And you know, when I said that, you know, it just, and she reciprocated. I mean, our relationship has been night and day since then. It's been night and day when I start looking and saying, you know, I have no excuse for my sin. I can't blame it and throw it out on anybody else. It's mine. It is my sin. We do that. Man, my friend, our society promotes it. They want to give you every reason to try to cast blame for your sin on somebody else. They want you to blame your mommy and daddy. They want you to blame a medical condition. They'll give you a label, you know, an ADD or a manic depressive or something, and they'll try to say, these are the reasons that you sin. And you can't help it. My friend, I'm not going to play Tom Cruise tonight like he did on the media, okay? I'm not going to go do that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you know Jesus Christ tonight, there is not a circumstance, unless this word is a lie, that you face in which you have to sin, because there is always a way out through Him. He gives you no temptation greater than that you can bear. We want to hide behind these things and tie ourselves to these excuses. We want to water down the words of Scripture that accuse us and tell us who we are. And we want to take that away and somehow say we're different. But my friend, you know, if you have an addiction to alcohol, you are a drunkard. Amen. I mean, that's what the Bible calls it. You know, I don't believe those are things you have to be tied to life, because Paul says, he talks in one of the Corinthian letters, I believe, and says, you know, he goes through a whole list of fornicators, adulterers, and all these types of things. And he says, such were, past tense, some of you. You were, but you're not now, because you can escape these things through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe tonight, if you are here and lost, and you are trying to excuse your sin and trying to excuse why you're not coming to God, my friend, there is no excuse. Amen. Jesus Christ, when He was reviled, when He was mocked, He reviled not again. He didn't. He did not do that. There is no excuse for us to have to do that. And if you know the Lord tonight, you can find release from those things. If you don't know the Lord and you find the Lord tonight, you can find release from these things. The Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. We can guess. We can guess, you know, what that might be. We don't know what it was. But you know, he went to the Lord, and this thorn in the flesh, he thought, was something that would cause him perhaps to sin or cause him to stumble or hurt his ministry or something that he perceived as an excuse, perhaps. And he went to God three times and asked God to take it away, and God said, no, I'm not going to do it. And so what lesson did Paul learn after the fact? He said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, because when I'm weak, He's strong, isn't He? When I'm weak, even though I may have these excuses I built up in my mind, that is no excuse when it comes to living my life for Jesus. That is no excuse. And even though I am weak, through Him I can be strong and He can get glory. I heard the story I'm not sure what the woman's name is, but Brother Hackett's wife. And how even though she is in such pain and in such a difficult circumstance, she's praising God. And is that not a testimony to the very thing we're talking about tonight? What is the excuse we can have for not living for God? We don't have one. We are without excuse. Amen. Let's turn to the end of chapter 3 here in Genesis. God told Adam and Eve, the penalty for sin is death. On the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. Their eyes were opened so that they would find out that they were naked, but their spiritual eyes, my friends, were blinded. That whole problem, the corruption of the mind occurred, and you see them immediately start to try to shift the blame, to blame somebody else, to throw it off on somebody else, rather than taking responsibility for their own sins. And here toward the end of Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know what that is? You know what that is? They tried to cover their nakedness. They tried to hide themselves. They tried to make those fig leaves and sew it up. And you know what? To you and I, looking on the outside, they may have seemed to be completely covered to us. We might not have seen a leaf out of place. But it wasn't sufficient, because God wanted to make an example. There had to be death to cover their nakedness. Their nakedness represented their sin. And an animal had to be killed. An animal had to be killed. You know, I believe that was the first death that ever took place. I don't believe there was death before the fall. There wasn't a reason for death. Death is the result of sin, the curse of sin. It didn't exist before the fall. That was the first death. That animal had to die. Its skin was taken and wrapped around them to cover their nakedness. Your attempt to cover your nakedness is going to fail every time. It will never, never, never prosper. It will never succeed. You cannot cover your nakedness. Only God can. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that in almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. God must remain true to His Word. The penalty for sin is death. You know, you say, you don't want God to hold that against you. You want God to make an exception for you. You want to make God a liar. You want to make God's character flawed. You don't want a God whose character is flawed. You don't want a God that can go back on His Word, because if He can go back on His Word on that, He can go back on His Word on a lot of other things. We don't want a God like that. We want a God like we've got, because He is a good God and He has already made a way for you to be saved. And the only reason you're not getting there right now is because you're not walking the path that He's made for you. Jesus paved a way. He's the one who died. He's the one who shed His blood that your nakedness could be covered. That your sin could be covered, because your attempt to do it through your works and hiding, you're not fooling anybody. I mean, you may fool me. I may never know. But God sees.
Amen.
God sees it. He sees just what you are.
Amen.
And He is not pleased. He is not pleased. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walking in the light is allowing your nakedness to be exposed through confession to God. Walking in the light, to walk in the light is to walk in openness before God, not trying to hide your sin, but going to Him, confessing it in repentance and seeking His forgiveness. That's walking in the light. And it tells us that because it says, if we do this, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God has made a way so that every time you seek to do this, every time you go to Him with a sincere heart and confession and openness, He'll forgive you. He will forgive you. You know that the word confession in the Old Testament, it means to hold out with an open hand. It means to hold out with an open hand. You're not closing it. You're not trying to hide it. It means to hold out with an open hand. In the New Testament, it's a different word. It's homologus, which means to say the same thing. What do you mean, say the same thing? To confess your sin is to say the same thing about it that God says about it. To say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin. And we know what He says about that right here. We know that He is not pleased with it. Let's turn back to Psalm 32, and I want to read a few more passages here. You know, my summer project this year is to paint my house. And I have still got a little bit left to do. But I'm a lazy painter. My house was built in the late 60s. I think it's had two coats of paint on it. And I went by, and it was... Those who've been to Alaska know that the houses are painted some really ugly colors. I don't understand why. I have no idea. You'll see some of the most intriguing color houses you've ever seen in your life if you go to Alaska. I think it's because of the snow and people just want something else besides white. But I did not like the color of my house. I've been waiting for like 2.5 years to get the time to paint it. And so I went by and I found some of the real obviously bad places and tried to scrape those off. But, you know, I tried to rush it. I tried scraping and I didn't want to go sand. And, you know, honestly, I could have peeled every bit of paint off my house. Honestly, I could have peeled every bit of paint off my house. But there was no way I wanted to do that. So I scraped off, you know, the real, real obvious bad places and put some primer on. And then one of my brothers from the church came over and we sprayed it all one day. And looked pretty good. And the next day we go by and I see all these bubbles all over the place. I got some still left next to my front door and I got to get rid of those when I get back. But these bubbles where I had not taken care of the root problem. I had not dealt with the paint that was peeling, that was old, that was coming off, and properly prepared the surface, and I tried to paint over it, to cover over it, and it made the new paint job look bad. That's the same thing we do when we try to cover our sins. Isn't it? You know, you have sin in your life. And if you just want to say, okay, well, you know, I've done bad, and I'm just going to try to do better the next time and just paint over it. My friend, if you don't confess and forsake that sin and get that peeled off and cleaned off, get that surface prepared by God, you don't have a good foundation for building it. You can work as hard as you want and paint over and paint over and paint over and try and try and try. But until you address that bottom layer of bad paint, you're not going to have a good paint job.
Amen.
You're not going to have a good paint job. And that is your life right now if you don't know Jesus Christ. You can try to turn over a new leaf. Turn over a new fig leaf, my friend. You don't need a new leaf. You need the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need the ultimate surface primer. The blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 32. Let's finish reading this psalm. In verse 3, David writes about what happened when he tried to stay closed on his sin, to not prepare that surface. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. David was under the pain of conviction. He couldn't get away from it. Day and night it was there. He tried to push it back. He said his moisture, his strength was sapped. He was getting tired of carrying this burden around. And he probably tried all sorts of things to get rid of it. But the only thing that worked was what he did in verse 5. I acknowledged. I opened my hand up unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Amen.
And what did he do? Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Amen.
Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. My friend, if God is troubling your heart, that time is tonight. Everyone that is godly shall pray this unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. I think that's an allusion to the flood. When the destruction comes, the day of judgment comes, it won't touch you. You'll be held, you'll be preserved, you'll be protected from those things by the blood of Jesus Christ that will buoy you up above the destruction that is coming upon this place because of the curse of sin. David, going from a place of conviction and rebelling against God and pushing against the conviction, kicking against the pricks, as Paul said, he's turned into a position of love and gladness and thankfulness. He says, thou art my hiding place.
Amen.
Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. Selah, you can have that joy in your heart tonight if you turn
Amen.
To Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then we see something interesting in this passage. We see the voices change. We see the voices change. David is speaking, and then all of a sudden, he goes from the person of David into direct word from God. This is God speaking directly to you tonight. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like that horse and that stubborn mule. God's Spirit is working and convicting and drawing. He wants to peel that pain away. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you joy and peace. And you sit there and you clutch and you try to hide and get behind those fig leaves. My friend, you can hide from us, but you can't hide from God. His eyes are looking down. He sees you. He knows where you're at. He's drawing you. This is a time when you may find Him. What are you doing with this opportunity? Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about.
Amen.
Mercy shall compass him about, shall cover him. Mercy will surround him. Mercy will cover your sin, cover your nakedness. What does that mercy come from? The blood of Jesus Christ. That is the inception of mercy right there. That is where mercy begins, what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Jesus said, it is the truth that makes us free. Happy is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression, his sin is covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whom spirit there is no guile, no lies. The truth. My friend, when you start living in reality, when you start getting out of your fantasy world and trying to hide and pretend, when you get open and honest with God, my friend, the truth will set you free.
Amen.
That's the truth that Jesus Christ has to offer you. Are you spending your time adjusting your fig leaves? Are you trying to sew on more leaves tonight? Are you trying to hide from the truth, from reality, what's really honestly going on in your heart, that you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ? You're working and you're toiling, you're trying to cover yourselves with something that will not protect you in that day. It won't cover your sin, it won't hide it. Because my friend, every eye will see Him, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There will be no hiding from God on that day because we will all stand before Him. Pastor Tim mentioned in his sermon yesterday, those who are righteous will be raised in new glorious bodies. Those who are not will be raised in vile and detestable bodies. There will be no hiding it. In that day it will be open and obvious for all to see. Why don't you open yourself up to God tonight and get that change so that you can stand there before Him in that glorious body with nothing to hide, no shame, because the blood of Jesus has fully clothed you and covered your sins. Drop the leaves. Drop the leaves. Run to Jesus. Drop the leaves. Leave them there. Let go of them. They're not doing you any good anyway. Yes, you're naked. Yes, you're sinful. We all are. We all are. There's not a one person in this room who hasn't sinned, who hasn't needed God, who didn't need the salvation He had to offer. Not a one of us. You're no different than the rest. But if you're not covered, you are different from those who were saved.
Amen.
You're different. God can make you the same. He can give you that covering tonight. He has a garment that will cover you completely. Let's have a song this evening. Don't hide behind this. It's not doing you a bit of good. Come open, come honest before God, before Jesus Christ. He is ready. As soon as you run to Him in sincerity and confess, He is willing to cover you up, to cover it up, to take it all away. And you'll never have to deal with that again. Yeah, you'll have to go to Him and confess your sin from time to time as you sin and get open and honest with Him again. But my friend, that garment that He will give you, it'll cover you until that day. It will cover you until that day and beyond through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing this evening, come to Jesus.